All right, guys. There tonight is the NFL draft. We're watching. We know some players, not that many, but I have a fun little trivia question for you. There's one professional sports team in history to draft two NFL Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the same draft class. That means same year, same draft.
Quarterbacks?
Quarterbacks. They drafted two Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the same draft class. What team was it?
Okay. Is it recent? Fairly recent?
Not that recent, but recent enough. Like you know the quarterbacks.
You said two MVPs or two?
No, two Hall of Famers.
Hall of Famers.
Okay.
One professional sports team in history drafted two NFL Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the same draft class.
So one team drafted two quarterbacks in one draft.
They drafted two NFL Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the same draft.
Was it Atlanta?
It was not Atlanta.
So that means they had them, but they probably traded one, but they still drafted them, and I'm assuming, right?
Mm-mm.
No? They kept both of them?
Whatever you want.
You can't keep two, and they both end up being – that means they would have to get one that's just a backup for, like, 10 years and then becomes – you know what I mean? That doesn't make sense.
Can I just ask, is one of the quarterbacks Kurt Warner?
No.
Okay.
Is it the Patriots?
It is not. Guys, 1979.
Oh.
The Kansas City Royals. That's right, the Kansas City Royals, 1979 baseball draft. In the fourth round, drafted Dan Marino. In the 18th round, they drafted John Elway.
Oh, so this is a trick question.
That was a trick question, guys. And welcome to What's the Call Podcast.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to What's the Call Podcast, your favorite sports podcast with three guys who definitely have no idea what they're talking about, but they do it for fun. And we're happy you're here with us, Shot Callers. I'm Aaron.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Dimitri.
We're glad to have you back.
Yes, that's true. Dimitri was gone. He left us. He left us, and we got Dan Favalli. Shout out to Dan, but
Dimitri's that's back. An upgrade, no?
It's not enough.
It was an upgrade for the episode, absolutely. As far as basketball knowledge goes, like
he said, absolutely. Goddamn.
It's way above the three.
Made a so cold stunner me, like fresh so cold stunner. Not that
recent. Not the man one. I just rocked the rock. So cold stunner you. He was the best. Mm-hmm. Aaron still put procs about my trivia question to start the show. Dan Marino and John Elway were both great baseball players in high school. John Elway was drafted by the Yankees for a little while too, and there was real thoughts he would go play for the Yankees instead of going to the NFL.
Pitchers, I'm assuming?
I believe so. I know definitely Marino was a pitcher. He went like 22-0 in high school. Elway was an outfielder.
That makes sense.
He was the second round pick by the Yankees in 81. And he didn't want to play, I believe it was for the Chargers, who were originally looking to draft him. And he didn't want to play for them. And he said he would go play baseball for the Yankees unless the Chargers traded him. I think it was the Chargers. I could look it up later. But they eventually made a deal and sent him to the Broncos. And the rest is history. Mm-hmm. Went on to be a Hall of Famer for the Broncos. Marino, even though he was a fourth round pick, out of high school, he still decided to go to college for football and went on, became a Hall of Fame quarterback for the Dolphins. But the Kansas City Royals, drafted both of them in 1979. Shout out to that GM. I mean, he found some talent, just wrong sport.
Wrong sport.
Oh. Fourth round draft. Would have been if they would have joined baseball, though.
But I mean, fourth round draft pick is still pretty good.
Fourth round draft pick in MLB base, like in MLB draft, is pretty high.
How many rounds do they have?
Like over
that year, they apparently have 44 rounds.
Yeah,
so they're fourth. Like, that's so fourth round. That's still pretty good. He batted Elway in high school, batted 500 both years.
He only went to high school for 2 years?
Well, no, I guess his last 2 years.
He's on the I'm about to say, I'm like, damn, yeah, he's a genius. What doesn't he have?
And Marino went 22-0 as his senior year.
I feel like any quarterback that played baseball, like you said, would be either a pitcher, an outfielder, or a shortstop. Because they all have, like, they're known for, like, the cannons. I guess a catcher, too. Yeah. But probably not because of the knees, I'm assuming, because the wear and tear. So that's why I excluded it. But the cannon that you must have, like, throwing it from the outfield, they got to be direct and stuff and exact. I could see that 1,000%. And then pitching, that's just, like, especially if you're a quarterback, you're throwing that shit hard. That's
true. That's a cool.
Yo, NFL executive should have picked him up. The guy who scouted that, both of them for the Royals, he should have switched over sports. He would have made a killing. He would have made a killing. Or he might not have. He might not have understood how to really draft for football. The Jets need that guy now.
Hey, you know what? Jets are right in tonight's draft, so let's just break it down. NFL draft tonight. I like the draft. I know you guys don't. Most people don't. We can talk a little bit about the downside of the draft, too.
I like the draft. I just like the first maybe two rounds. And
we just like the
bottom. I'm with you. And you like to tease me. I know. It's part of it. It's camaraderie. Don't know who they're showing right now, but he's one of
the Green Bay.
They have like Subway guys. They signed like Subway sandwiches. I don't. It's a weird advertisement. Subway, you can do better. We'll advertise you, Subway. But so with the draft, first number one pick, we'll give him a nice little shout out. Trayvon Walker, defensive lineman out of Georgia, went to Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm a big fan of the number two pick. Aiden Hutchinson, a lot of talks, him being a good, solid defensive lineman, grew up in Michigan, played for University of Michigan, gets drafted by Detroit Lions. I know it's still Detroit, but still, like, you know, I think that was a great move for them. And I like the Jets picks, the two they took, Sauce Gardner, cornerback, and Garrett Wilson, wide receiver. So Wilson combo could be interesting. Hopefully it works out for them. Giants also had good picks. They surprised me a little bit. They switched them. I thought they should have took the offensive lineman with the 5 pick, because everybody knew Charlotte was taking an offensive lineman with the 6 pick, leaving the Giants to be able to take any defensive lineman they wanted with 7. But instead they took defensive lineman at 5, let Charlotte have their pick of offensive lineman, and then they took the next offensive lineman at 7. So they still got what they needed, but it was just a little bit out of order, in my opinion. But the guy Charlotte took, grew up in Charlotte, played for NC State, now is going to the Panthers. So
that's so crazy. I keep calling them Charlotte. Happens.
It's Carolina. That's what I mean. They play in Charlotte.
We got you. We understood. And then the quarterback that got picked by Pittsburgh, that's right. The same thing, right? He went to...
Grew up in Pittsburgh, played for University of Pittsburgh, and now he's been the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback. And he's got potential to be their next starter for 10, 15 years if he plays up to his potential.
Yeah, that's like the coolest. That must be one of the coolest.
You think so?
You don't think that's cool? He probably grew up a Steelers fan. That's cool, man. That's like,
I don't know.
That's like the equivalence of like, all right, you were a Yankee fan when you were a kid and you grew up and you got to play for the Yankees and like got drafted by them and stuff. Like, that's sick. You don't think so? That's weird that you don't think so. So, Chuck,
you no. If he's a fan, we don't know if he's a fan.
He's
not a fan.
Sure, we're assuming. You're right.
Assuming because he's from the area, he's a fan.
I mean, that's just my assumption. I don't know anything about him.
What if he thought he was going to get drafted by Miami or like somewhere in California to leave Pittsburgh finally in his life?
Finally wanted to leave Pittsburgh.
He's like, you know what? I got this ticket. This is my chance. I'm going to go somewhere nice and hot for the whole year. And he gets drafted by his team.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
He also chose to play.
I'm with Aaron on this one. They went to university in these schools. They had a choice to go elsewhere.
We don't know if he did.
That's true. Yes, maybe he getting recruited. Like a, maybe he didn't have that many choices, but
maybe he only got recruited because of where he was.
All right. So if you're a first round pick,
you were probably getting recruited by multiple schools, or at least even had a chance to transfer at some point if you were good enough to be a first round pick. Ooh. Jets are on the clock again. Interesting. They just made a trade with Titans.
Wait. So let's say in a perfect world, what we're saying is he was like he is a fan of the Steelers. Like he grew up. If that was the scenario, it's the perfect scenario, and it's one of the coolest things for you and your family. Mm. Now, if what you're saying is true, where his lifelong dream was. to get out of Pittsburgh, but like he never got recruited anywhere else, and he gets drafted by them. I'm with you there.
I get it.
This guy's huge.
Yeah, I was gonna say this guy, the center that Baltimore just took, is a wrestler too. Ooh, look who he fought. That's an interesting college wrestling matchup. He fought Tristan Wirfs. Wasn't he like a top three lineman last year?
I have no idea.
I think he was drafted like top five or something last year as a lineman.
Well, all I know is if it doesn't work out in the NFL, I mean, yo, WWE will take you, man.
AEW perhaps? Like, yeah, starting Major League Wrestling?
That's crazy.
That's dope. Let's see what the Jets get. But wow, they have that long to make a pick? How long?
Yeah, I think the first round you got like 8 minutes or something.
8 minutes.
What's the seventh round look like?
Oh, the seventh round's like a minute and a half. they speed up real quick at the end. At that point, teams already kind of know who they're taking. There's not much trading going on. The first rounds where the trades happen, even second, third rounds. But even I think first round, I want to say you get 8 minutes. They get a little bit less like each round.
Why in baseball can they draft kids that are like 16 years old from high school, but they don't do that in other sports? Like, why can't like you be like this guy like Jadeveon Clowney when he was like
they could
monster, like all of his like high school college highlights? Like, what if? Why couldn't he have just been drafted when he was like 18?
So I believe, actually, no, you can't. So you need to be, I want to say, either 2 or 3 years removed. Also, shout out to the Jets having the Ukrainian flag in the background in their draft office. But I believe you have to be 3 years removed from high school to be drafted in the NFL. That's just how the league and the Players Association voted on it.
Let's just keep it 100. It's because it's all about money. It's all about money.
College football is bigger than college baseball. College football
is huge.
Same thing with college basketball. College hockey isn't. So those guys get drafted 16, 17 years old.
Yeah.
Baseball, I guess.
Think about it. It's just the colleges are going to be like, all right. I don't know if they get a cut of that. You know, because the NFL doesn't have to do that for colleges. They could draft them early, put them in early.
One thing I would say, though, with football, guys who would come in would be like 18 or so if they came right out of high school. Some aren't quite fully, developed. You know, I know that's not one of the biggest issues, but that can be an issue for some guys. And also, another part of it is there's really no minor league for football.
No, there's not.
At least in baseball, they put them through the minor league system. Like, it's not very often a guy comes directly from high school and he's 17, 18 years old playing in the pros. It does happen sometimes, but that's not, you know, there's other avenues for him to go to. So same thing with hockey.
So I have a hate for I don't know what it is, but not to like downplay, oh, did not develop at 18, because if the United States had a draft for the Army and you're 18.
Big move by the Jets. This guy was supposed to be like the second. No, that was supposed to be like a top five, top 10 pick.
I like that Jack.
Ooh, like
that jacket is kind of fire.
I think he's supposed to be like number three. He's supposed to be like top five D line, and he fell all the way. I guess the Jets just figured, all right, move. Let's get him.
That's cool.
This is a good move by them.
But like, back to my point, if you're old enough to get drafted to die for a country, you should be old enough to.
Okay. Well, now you're All right. Now you're getting into. I usually get into. But all right, but you're old enough to get drafted into the Army, but not old enough to buy a beer. Like, all right, you know.
Usually,
the way the draft works, they usually don't draft 18-year-olds. Like, it's weird. They'll start at like 21 and then draft 20-year-olds, 19, 18, and then like start going up into the 20s. Like, it's weird how they do it. Usually, 18-year-olds aren't the first to get drafted. But you're right, you can.
But Chuck, what I'm thinking also, like you said, there's no minor leagues. So, you know, in minor leagues, they get paid. They don't get paid crazy. But, you know, you could be projected to be a top whatever pick. And then your sophomore year when you're 19 years old, blow out your leg. And now you made no money. You're probably not going to get drafted. Yep. If they are physically able to, you're right. Some of them don't get their, like, pro body until like they're about 20. You know what I mean? Like when they're fully, like when they have like a full staff.
Even
like,
more than that though.
Because think about it, in high school, you're lifting and stuff, but there's not like really like a regimen. When you're in college, it's like real regimens and stuff like that.
I feel like 24, 25 is like when you're fully like.
I agree, but at that point, they've already played football for like 10 years from like high school on. Their bodies are already gone through the wear and tear. I mean, most of these guys that are getting drafted right now are going to be sitting at home watching it like we are in like 4 years. So you want to try to get in and make your money. And then there's also the other side of the spectrum when you're like drafted at like 16 years old by the Red Sox with like $1 million signing bonus, and you're sitting there doing trigonometry. You know what I mean? Like it's like, what's, I don't understand these sides of the spectrum.
The problem is that with that is like, you know, you're going to say no to $1 million sign-on bonus? Like,
yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's insane. And it's really just a lot of times, like, they sign them and they'll just, like, hold them. They're just, like, they don't even pay them yet. They're just, like, hey, when you're done with school or whatever, we got this for you. So I couldn't even imagine. Like, I wouldn't even be focusing on my classes. I wouldn't be focusing on anything. Like, I already made it. I got it. I got the million. And which is also bad, because then it adds, once they are out, they're just like lazy and this, and it's all these aspects of sports are played major roles. But I just find it interesting that it's not like there's not an option for it.
I think what would be beneficial is to have a real minor league system
in football. For football?
Yeah.
They should just make college the minor league system, like in regards to like, maybe they don't
paying them.
I don't know. Well, yes, paying them, but.
Well, I think now.
I don't know.
Their name, image, and likeness, they're able to earn money on their own. Like, that has been such a long time coming. I know it doesn't answer all the questions and solve all the problems, but it is, you know, it is a step in the right direction that they are able to earn money in some way. Yeah, it's not getting paid by the schools, which is a problem on its own, but now they're at least able to earn money in some fashion.
But in a lot of cases, that's only going to be through marketability, right? Like, think about, if Johnny Manziel was playing now, they'd be throwing money at him left and right because he was must see TV, and really not because of his game, because of his antics, his, you know, throwing money up, you know, I mean, after he scored a touchdown and stuff, like, it was all part of the antics, and they were paid him heavily for that, which would have made it, probably would have caused athletes to start acting out, like as UFC. UFC fighters, they get paid really heavy when they're like spectacle. Like Conor McGregor made himself a main attraction.
Floyd Mayweather.
But you look at UFC. Like, you know, like Canelo Alvarez is huge, but like people who don't watch boxing or anything don't know who Canelo Alvarez is, but everyone knows who Floyd Mayweather is because he's bigger than the sport. You know what I mean? He's a main attraction draw just because of his outside antics. You know, it's just, I feel like if that was the case, like they should all just get paid like some type of minimum rate. Like they can afford it. These colleges are making like millions on millions and millions of dollars. Pay them like a minor league rate. So like, I don't know, instead of giving them a scholarship, just give them like 40 grand a year or something like that, or whatever the school is or whatever it is.
So one of my ideas has been, is like when I went to college, I for a little while worked for the soccer team. It was, you know, D3 school. I went to St. Joseph's College / now St. Joseph's University. Ooh. Shout out Golden Eagles, now university as of last week.
Right, Golden Eagles.
Anyway, I worked for the soccer team for a little bit. I was like a line person. Like I was a ball boy basically for the team. I just showed up at the games. They gave me a few dollars, and you know, if the ball went out of bounds on my side of the field, I threw the ball back in. That was it. And I got paid for it. The soccer players didn't, which fines D3. But I think they should be paid as school employees. You know, just like somebody gets paid working in the bookstore. Somebody gets paid working in the cafeteria. They paid as a tutor, whatever, you know.
That'd
be my idea. Pay them as a school employee. It doesn't cost me much money, but so they're working for the school.
But it also teach them, like, I just feel like the horror stories of like athletes coming in and not handling their money properly as well, and just the mismanagement of it all is so crazy. Wow, this guy has every hat just in case. Do you see this?
Oh my god! Yes, I.
How little thought you were not, Aaron.
That's so funny.
That's fire.
Actually, I think
that would be Aaron on draft day. and just keep them all.
And I'll still keep them all. I wear them. I mean, honestly, once you get to this stage, what, 27, you really don't know what's going to happen. I mean,
no, you don't. You have no idea who's going to take you at this point or anything.
That's fire. I like that, actually. But what I'm saying is, like, I feel like so many of the guys, like, they mismanage their money. And I feel like having like just a general like steady paycheck type of deal would help like ground them a little bit, understand.
Should that be a college class though?
It should be.
Well, that should be a college class for anybody.
But I how many classes are these kids actually taking?
I mean,
they how good they are in the field.
You know what I mean?
So I think part of the rookie combines, by the way, or like rookie like orientations or something, do have financial management classes. Mm-hmm. I think it's part of like either NFL orientation for the rookies or part of like the draft combine. They have been doing that recently because they've seen a lot of guys, you know, go through the NFL and mismatch money. So I know a lot of former players that have been teaching classes in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just I just feel like some type of grounding would help so many of these athletes, and then once they're at that level, they'll understand, like, well, you would hope that they would understand something about making money and saving it properly, because once that, and plus they're at school, they're gonna get everything else for free anyways. They could just pocket that money and make a base for themselves. So if injuries or anything like that ever happens and you cannot you can't pursue your dreams of doing this full time, you have something to start with. So when you could finish college, you have something to go off of. Now, mind you, we're talking really in where there's like kids going into med school and doing this and going that and coming out with that hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of debt. And you're like, why do we care about providing for them? I understand, but these people are bringing in money. So it's
a difference.
It's a different millions. They're bringing in tons of money.
This is crazy.
One thing I want to bring up on the draft. So I know I've spoken to you guys, off the podcast, but I don't know if I brought him up yet during the podcast. So Bomani Jones, somewhat, he likes to push buttons a little bit. He's a sports reporter. I like a lot of what he says. He started a show recently. I think it was a podcast before. Now it's on air. Now it's on HBO. It's very similar to a lot of political comedy shows. In particular, it's very similar to like the John Oliver show, which coincidentally is on right before the Bomani Jones show called Game Theory. And he did a whole breakdown on the NFL draft. And Bomani Jones likes to be a little controversial. Definitely leans to the left politically, but had some great points. And you guys have known for a while, I do love the draft. I've been watching every year for several years. He made some points that really made me question it, in particular the NFL and NBA drafts, because those are the two biggest. Surprise, is also the two biggest college sports. What's the other similarity between the NFL and the NBA compared to other major sports in the United States?
The race?
Yes.
Mostly black?
Yes. And what are the owners? The majority of the owners in these sports? Yeah. Yes. So, but Bomani Jones maybe took a little bit to the extreme, but in some ways had some points. Almost looks at this as I hate using the term, but a slave market. All of these rich white men checking out all these strong, athletic black men that can earn them money that honestly they don't have to work for. The owners aren't working for this. They're just choosing who's the strongest guy that could come work for them, make them money. Not a good comparison. I think it's a fair comparison. Don't get me wrong. But another thing he brought up, the main argument for the draft, which has been going on for a long time, the drafts are nothing new in any of the sports. The main argument has always been it helps to create competition, make the teams more fair, which is why if you have the worst record, you get the first pick. And some teams have abused that in recent years, either tanked, mostly tanked, and
in order to get the
top pick in all sports. Problem is that doesn't actually work. When the worst team gets the best player coming in, you expect them to get better or somehow be able to build and develop. It almost never happens. Studies have shown, so Bomani Jones went into this, there's studies that show it adds nothing to the level of equal competition in the league. The only thing the draft does is restrict the amount of money rookies can earn. Because now there's pay structures involved. And when you're drafted, how much you get paid. And also, because you're forced to go to that team that drafts you, you almost have to accept what they offer you. Otherwise, you aren't going to play. So what it does is it restricts the market. Now these guys can't earn what they really could earn if they could go anywhere. So it really just helps owners pay these guys less, and it helps the owners not have to be good owners and run good teams. If players could pick wherever they want to go, nobody would go to Jacksonville. Nobody would go to Washington. Nobody would play for these crap owners or these crappy teams. Even the Jets would be screwed. So the idea for Bomani Jones was to have the players almost draft the owners in a way. Now the players choose.
Like college.
Where they want to go. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Almost like that.
But I mean, everything that you're saying that Bomani Jones said, I mean, I'm with you. It all is making sense. But that part, the basically recruitment, how would that make, everyone would just want to go to the Alabamas of the world or the Ohio States of the world, which is the Chiefs.
That's what they do, though.
Patriots.
That's what they do in college.
I understand. So then the other teams will just never get better.
No, that's not true. Because
how is that not true? If every year,
you have five quarterbacks in the draft. They're not all going to go to the same team. They all want to play.
But then we're going to end up going back to the way it was.
They're going to just
deal with like whatever they're available to get, which is like probably Jacksonville or like
if you're a good quarterback. Yeah, yes, right?
The worst one would end up on the team like that, and either have to try to prove themselves or Jacksonville would have to improve themselves from the
If you're a quarterback bottom of college right now, you're not picking a lot of the teams in the league because you're not going to start in it.
Not going to start.
That's part of it.
If you're a Green Bay Packer fan, you're not just going to be like, oh, I'm sitting on the Aaron Rodgers. Or, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're just not going to go there.
But then there's going to be teams that are going to be left out.
There always will be. And that's after free agents, after their rookie contract is over, then they sign another team like Zion Williamson. It's probably not going to be the Pelicans anymore. Unless he wants the money and they can offer him more than the
other team. So basically this way would create the owners to actually do a better job at putting together a quality team. Quality management but then the owners would
get rid of some bad owners. Like, let's say, I mean, that goes into another thing. Let's say your team is the worst team in the league for X amount of time, or you have the worst attendance for X amount of seasons. Gone, you're gone. The league takes your team, sells it to the highest bidder. In American sports, there's no real incentive to be a decent team. No. Look what's going on with Oakland, the Oakland A's right now.
Yeah.
Their owners aren't trying for shit. And they're getting like 3,000 people at a game. That's embarrassing for a professional team. And it's because the owners can't get money out of the city for a new stadium. And they want to just ruin the team and move somewhere else and start over.
It's just so sad because Oakland Athletics is such a storied franchise.
They're not going to get rid of the owners. The MLB is actually on the side of the owners. If the MLB said, you know what, no, you guys are terrible, you shouldn't be owners, you're gone, we're going to sell the team to the highest bidder, then the owners would try.
But there would have to be a threshold of what is acceptable failure. That it would have to be like a written 10 commandments type of deal. You can't be in the bottom whatever for 5 years or this or that. But you can't
blame that on the owners either.
No, but what I'm saying is let's say that it's like a 5-year threshold. Like if you're in the bottom whatever for 5 years, you have to they might have like one season where like, oh, the last season, I would really try this year and pack on a great team so I don't lose my ownership. Like they'll do shit like that. They'll always get past it. So like there is no resolution.
No, I know there's injuries, there's bad luck, there's bad moves. There's things like that. There's things that happen. That's why if there is a threshold, yes, it has to take into account things that are just out of an owner's control. But if an owner is just garbage, they should be removed.
I'm sure there's research and stats to support this, but that can't always be the case. It just can't be. It's in some cases, like more recent, like Trevor Lawrence, he looks like he's shit, but that's because he's playing with a shitty team that's not getting better. But like, I think of like LeBron James, or I think of like players that like took teams that were nothing, like literally nothing. Miami Heat, no one cared about the Miami Heat and D Wade and Shaq. I mean, Alonzo Mourning, they cared a little bit, but they didn't have a team. Yeah, but they were an expansion team. It was the fact that they won one so soon was like crazy. That doesn't happen often. But like a team like the Cavaliers that was established, LeBron was there and made them into something. And he took a bunch of scrubs and brought them to the promised land. And once he left, the team showed. But what I'm saying is like he was saying that Bavon Jones said that the first pick never really helps the case. It, you know, they stay for like their rookie deal, and most times they leave because there is never like greener pastures, but that's not always the case. It's a matter of like, yes, I guess ownership and management, because they're building around certain guys. More recently, Devin Booker, for years, the Suns were like, how is he still on the Suns?
He was a first round, he was first pick?
He wasn't a first pick, but he was like the first, within the first like 10 picks, and he was like the guy. And they got new man, James Jones became general manager. They make a couple of moves. Next thing you know, they go to the finals last year. This year, they're a favorite again. You know, I just think it's a yes and no. It is a half management. It's a half just the team. There is no happy medium. I just don't know how this would be, how they could fix this.
I don't know. I don't think that's the case on that one. I wouldn't want to kick an owner out just because they made wrong moves. Unless it's like super deliberate, you know what I mean? Like Dolan.
Yeah.
But like at least there you could see.
Unless they have like contracts or something, like how like, you know, you sign a 5-year, whatever, $1 million deal. Maybe you're only like how like the stadiums, like Staples Center became crypto after 20-year contract or whatever. Like, unless if you have like a 10-year contract and you can renew it, but it has to be approved by like, I don't even know, because I feel like Goodell would just always approve it. So I don't understand. Like, I don't know. NFL is too corrupt to begin with. There's no saving NFL. It's done. Let's try to save the other sports. NFL is done. People are going to watch NBA regardless. Done too. NFL, like, people are going to watch regardless. The Oakland Athletics thing would never happen in the NFL. Like 3,000 fans at a football, that just wouldn't happen. It just wouldn't. I mean, I don't know how much Jacksonville sells out, but I have a feeling that people still go to the games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
but let me ask you a question.
It doesn't equate because people are so brainwashed.
How much money are they losing when 3,000 fans come to a game?
I mean, I'm assuming they're in the red every game. No one's buying, like, right. So, merch, no one's buying
food, and the games no are probably getting blocked out on TV, so it's ruining TV deals.
I mean, no one wants to
when watch you don't have a certain amount of fans in the stands.
Somebody, you have to start hurting their pockets. Let's be real. Let's start hurting pockets first. So, in order to be an owner of a team, maybe they can't have other billion-dollar industries that they own.
I mean, now we're getting to like, because that's almost impossible. You became a billionaire because you have multiple.
No, you know what I mean? Like, that's not all true.
Not always,
but the Maris don't have any other.
That's one of 30 something teams. You know what I mean?
But you know what I'm saying? Like, so like the Oakland Athletics, their owners, what else do they own that they could compensate for losing money on the Oakland A's?
I hear you.
I kind of see where you're coming from.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I know the Kansas City Royals are owned by the family of Walmart. So they're not going to hurt regardless of how much Kansas City sells or the salaries that they get paid out. And I think that might be where we need to start digging.
How do you, I mean,
like Steve Cohen, no offense, but he's got a lot of money. So is it going to hurt him if the Mets, like, he's investing though. He is really investing in the Mets, which is the opposite of what everybody else is doing. You know what I'm saying? So.
But all what you're saying what's gonna happen is basically it's gonna just be corruption. They're just gonna be hiding deals that they're doing on the side. They're gonna be like, oh yeah, I'm focused 100% on this team, but they're doing deals in China and deals with this place and that one. Yeah, I just feel like it's just impossible.
There's no right way. We should just abolish sports then.
It's impossible to really.
Get rid of sports podcast.
I mean, Chuck, I mean, you understand what I'm saying, though. Like,
I know what you mean.
Put guidelines on something like this? Because if that's the case, you're like, oh, you're a billionaire. We only have three businesses. You only have two businesses. You can't, you know what I mean? Oh, you got a third business, you're out. That doesn't How does that work?
You're gonna prevent them from making more.
This is America. You can't prevent them from making more money by doing it legally. What are we talking about? You can't do that.
So the Oakland A's owners, something Fisher is his name. He is worth about $2.5 billion. So I don't think he's quite hurting.
What is he?
But the thing, because
he's not making money off the A's.
He also owns the San Jose Earthquakes, the MLS team, and the Scottish soccer team Celtic, which is the top team in Scotland. So very random that he owns them. But yeah, the main thing here with Oakland, to get back to Oakland, they are desperately asking for a new stadium, and the city of Oakland and San Francisco and the state of California just saying no, buy your own stadium. And that has been a point of conflict for a lot of professional sports recently, and it's going to come to head later this year, probably around the New York State governor election, where current New York State governor, who's running for re-election, Kathy Hochul, has put in her budget for this upcoming year $850 million for the Buffalo Bills to build a new stadium. And not in Buffalo. They play what, Orchard Park now? Exactly the town, the suburbs outside Buffalo. So it's not really going to help Buffalo. It's kind of a theory that this would somehow help revitalize downtown Buffalo, but it's not. The stadium's not being built in Buffalo. I would support it a little bit if they were looking to re-energize the economy of the city of Buffalo, if they would put this new stadium in Buffalo, build up the areas around it.
I'm sorry.
But that's not the plan.
When was it ever energized?
Buffalo's a city. It's a city. But you're right. But it needs a lot of work. And just throwing $850 million at the professional football team to not build a stadium there, to build a city in the new stadium in the suburbs, is not going to do anything. It's just giving money to the Buffalo Bills owners.
It's crazy. What do you feel about that, Aaron?
I mean, I don't know. I have no words for it. I have no words for it because that just seems wasteful. But I never understand why they do that. Almost $1 billion for what? What's wrong with their stadium now? You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
I feel like that's money that could be used for so many other things, and I feel like, if it's not broke, why, don't try to fix it? What are we doing? The Oakland Athletics, they're broken. It's a broken franchise now. You know what I mean? It's been broken since, Moneyball is really just, the beginning of, how broken.
It got
broken. You know what I mean? They're doing stuff, on a dime when they don't need to, but they're doing it that way. And it's just sad because Oakland Athletics is a super storied franchise. That's been around for a long time. Yeah,
the oldest. Yeah.
And it's not an expansion team within the last 30 years. It's a storied franchise with, I've been saying it, the most fire hat of all time. The yellow, the green with the white A is iconic. And if they move that to Vegas or something, they're going to mess it up. I already know it. And then those hats are going to be retro, and that's a shame. So I'm obviously looking at it at that aspect, but I'm also looking that we should go to a game. It's probably dirt cheap right now. We'd probably sit behind home plate for nothing.
In the A's?
For the A's? We should go. I'm just saying. I'm putting it out there. In Oakland. Let's see. We're listening to E40 and Too Short the whole time.
And G-Eazy.
I'm going to look up FLX tickets.
We can sit right behind home plate. Do they play the Mets ever?
Rare. It's very rare.
Yeah.
They play the Yankees, though. All right, let's move on to something else because we spent a lot of time here.
I'm just going through all my rants here, you know.
Yeah,
my other rants.
That was a much.
You want to have a whole rant episode, and then next episode we'll actually talk sports. Okay. Another one. The other day I was listening to sports radio, and they were calling today's athletes soft.
They are.
It pissed me off, but
they are.
This came out and it bothered me before the whole Ben Simmons thing. Because Ben Simmons thing, that was a little soft. Because how do you have a sore back from sitting too much? Like, I don't quite understand.
From 1992? Oh, yeah, I get it.
But so besides that one, but in some ways, they call like some of these guys soft. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I could agree with it. Like, think about how much media there is on these guys nowadays, how much scrutiny there is. Anytime they pick up their phone, if they go to any single social media app, they're getting ripped apart by somebody. That has to be difficult on your psyche. Also, the games are put everywhere. Everybody's watching everything nowadays. Like, none of this happened before. And when other guys played, like,
no social media, period.
We didn't have the social media. We didn't have the media we have now. We didn't have every single... game televised everywhere. There's one thing, this how the topic started. I know I questioned it too at first, was when they pulled Clayton Kershaw and this, what, seventh inning or so, when he was throwing the perfect game about a week or two ago, and he was only at 80 pitchers. And that, I think that's what started the conversation on the radio show I was listening to. And the guy brought up a story from early 19 something. Let me see exactly when it was. It was a MLB pitcher who was hit by lightning during the game and continued to pitch afterwards. Ray Caldwell. This is the story he went into. 1919, he was pitching for, I want to say, Cleveland. He's pitching for Cleveland. The ninth inning of the game, he's going for complete game. And he was hit and struck by lightning with two outs in the bottom of the ninth. He got up, completed the game, got that last out. And people were looking at it like, oh, see, look, guys nowadays, they wouldn't do something like that. Guys nowadays, they're soft. Look at these great, hard men back in the day.
Man.
And
we're the really thing gonna is, rant, right? We're gonna really rant here because I'm
here. We go.
I'm getting fired up right now.
Good. I want it. The thing is, Ray Caldwell, a couple weeks later, goes and pitches a complete game no hitter. And guys like, look at this man. This guy hit by lightning, finishes the game, comes back a couple weeks later, throws a no hitter. Probably Ray Caldwell being the so-called hard player and not soft like today's players. Ray Caldwell only played 11 years in the MLB. And missed significant time during those years because he was a hardcore alcoholic. And nothing against guys with addiction issues. That's not the point of the story. The point of the story is we remember that one story from him being this hard player, finishing the game after getting hit by lightning. And yeah, that's hard. But he also had severe mental illness, severe addiction issues, and didn't even finish his career because of these issues. I'm not saying like that was soft of him or anything. But we forget about things like that because that wasn't really spoken about then. They probably just stopped writing his name in the stats, stopped saying his name on the radio, and people forgot about him and moved on. And they just remember this guy who got by lightning, continue pitching. If that was happening today, if a guy today missed the rest of his career because of alcohol issues, everybody would know about it. Everybody would be talking about it. Today's guys aren't necessarily soft. Not softer. They're just more overexposed. So we see things a lot more often than we would have in, you know, previous times. So I'm defending today's players, except Ben Simmons.
But you can't say that then. You gotta
I know. I don't know Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons could seriously be hurt. And yeah, you know, we're
ripping on.
No, I know. Yeah. I don't know.
I just think.
Yeah, Aaron, go.
I also think him coming back in game four would have just made no sense anyway.
All right. Now, the people.
Now it's your turn.
Now, the people who said this, were they like ex professional, like ex-professional baseball players, or what?
No, it was a weekend sports radio guy on WFAN.
Got it. Got it. Cool. On a fucking radio. So
not even the good radio either.
So someone who never even got close to the weekend. So someone who's not even close to ever getting, who is never even close to getting to that level, shouldn't have an opinion on this. They go ahead. What are you gonna say?
No, I'm agreeing with you.
No, go ahead.
How could they have an opinion of how soft players are if they've never even done it? They never made it. They don't know how it is to actually be in that position. They don't know. They only know how to talk about it. They don't know how to actually be in there. They didn't make it to that level. They didn't show that they put it in. They probably played baseball. They probably played these sports when they were a kid. When they were like 12, 13, got cut from their team and never played again. They just decided to talk about it. How does that make them soft because Clayton Kershaw gets taken out of the game? Clayton Kershaw has been hurt for the last 7 years. Like, he misses like 20 starts a season. And it's like the second start of his season of this season. Why in the hell would they push him? He's not 22 going for glory. He's towards the end of his career. Probably has like another year or two left until he retires. Why would they do that? Yes, the dude got fucking like freaking hit by lightning 45 years ago. I mean, who really cares? Like, that doesn't – that they also used to, you know, patch up wounds and put cocaine in them. Life changes. People evolve. We have evolved. People are much more in tune with, like, taking care of themselves. Those people were, like you said, alcoholics. They died young. They did all that stuff because they didn't take care of themselves. We're in an age where we're living till 100-something years old. We want to take care of ourselves. I don't understand how that makes them soft by putting themselves first when there's someone on sitting at home writing in their desk computer about how terrible Ben Simmons is because he left his team out. And it just doesn't equate to me. It doesn't make any sense. Like, you're in the same shoes as like everyone else, the fans sitting at home watching. Who are you to say any opinion? You never made it. If Pedro Martinez said that, I'd be like, okay, I take your thing and I respect it because you played in a different era. You understand. If Ken Rosenthal said that, I'd be like, Ken, you're 5'3" and you never made it. What are we talking about?
All right. So
is he really?
Yeah, I think he's like 5'4". He's really small.
I have two takes because I've always thought that also people who are reporting on it shouldn't have opinions, but that's what they get paid for, to have an opinion.
Fair.
And to say that they don't get ostracized by the media or by people is wrong because they do. They get criticized all the time for what they write. Mm-hmm. About people. So they get it just as much as athletes get it. The other thing was, I agree with Chuck about the guy getting struck by lightning. He's not stronger or built harder or anything like that. They just were dumb. Let's just say it how it is. They were just idiots. And getting struck by lightning was... oh, he got struck by lightning, but he could still pitch. All right, we'll just leave him in, which was fucking, I'm sorry, cursing, but it was just dumb at the time. Now we're a much more smarter society, much more aware of everything. So anything that happens, we are pulling people out, making sure they're done, make sure they're okay. They got MRI, CAT scans, all that stuff. The fact that they pulled Clayton Kershaw out was kind of dumb because he was in the perfect game. They should have just let him see it out. But that's not his fault. He didn't ask to come out of the game. He's like, hey, I'm at 80 pitches.
He might have asked to come out, but, either way, I don't put much blame on him. Like, this – it's, I mean, still at the end, it's still his life, man. If he's done, end of the day, man. You know,
it's not a bunch of Nolan Ryans going around. This is not, you know, it's not how it is.
But the Ben Simmons thing, I have two spiels. One is, listen, we don't know what he's going through. It might be psychological. But two is like, all right, he hasn't played a basketball game since last June or May. So people are going to do what they're going to do. They're going to start speculating. And that's what's happening right now. So he's a pro athlete. He's got the best health care in the world. And you're going to tell me, like, if anybody, if an 83-year-old down the block, two doors down, has back surgery, she's up and walking in 2 months, Ben Simmons cannot get healthy and play a game in almost a year? So I get it. It's going to be speculation. So you have to come out with an answer for that, especially when you get paid what you're getting paid. So, I mean, that's my spiel.
You know what? But I don't know what people thought. Like you said, he hasn't played since May. If he played after he got traded, maybe like a few weeks after, he would have been playing because he would have had games to repetitions and time to put in. He didn't have that. Yes, he's dealing with mental health stuff. Yes, I guess he's dealing with a back situation. We don't know any of these things. It could have been psychological, but that's also a part of what they're saying. Like, they consider that to be soft, like to have like mental health issues. Like they do.
Society, I don't think so, though.
Older generation definitely views mental health as like a crutch. And I'm sure
But the problem is they have the same issues too. It's just not scrutinized as it is now.
There were guys going to
psych wards back in the day too. That's nothing new.
And it's like you said, there wasn't a camera in your face 24/7.
But we just found out about that though. We really just found out about that back injury, and all of a sudden it's mental health. It's been a back injury since
it's been mental health since a week ago. It's been mental health since before the season started though.
I haven't heard any reports on mental health.
I've heard mental health.
He walked out of the Sixers practice because of that. I remember that was like the whole thing in like October during preseason and stuff. But also just to change sports, I know like Simone Biles got the same thing during the Olympics. Naomi Osaka got the same thing in tennis. Mental health is still scrutinized now. People still view it as like a soft characteristic. Because I remember when Simone Biles, you know, she's the twisties or whatever it was, and she was unable to do it because she was blacking out. I remember people going hard. I remember seeing on Twitter and seeing other like outlets like talking about like if she's not built for it, why is she in the Olympics? Why is she in the sport if she's not able to take the pressure? I'm like, that's not the part. A reason why she's sitting out. She's sitting out because she's blacking out doing triple backflips in midair. She's scared for her life and safety. That's why she did it. Naomi Osaka was dealing with mental health stuff. They were scrutinizing her too. And I'm like, so it's cool to take care of yourself. It's cool to take care of yourself, but when it's like in a championship event or a game seven or this or that, it's no longer acceptable. And that's what Chuck's saying. Players, like if Jordan was playing now, I'm sure he would still be great, but like I'm sure media would get on his nerves a lot, and social media would be this and that. It changes for everyone.
Social media is horrible.
Just completely different. But like, I see people talk about like parlay and betting and stuff because it's like legal in a lot of places, and people will be like, "Oh my god, this is my guy," and the next game he has like a shitty game and just completely just ripping him online. You can't escape it. Everywhere you go. As long as you like, if your phone is off and your mentions, everything that's that, you won't see a lot of it, but people will still send you stuff. Close people you know will get in your head and send you stuff. And I think people, like you said, people writing articles, people are on the radio, they're hearing the same thing. But it's not the same thing.
It is, though.
But it's not.
It's not as much.
Like what, a handful of people compared to tens of thousands of people possibly ripping you.
Well, do you guys
ESPN for hours will be ripping Ben Simmons for hours. Podcasts will rip him for hours. Everyone will be ripping him. I would hate to be him. I really would, because it now it puts you in a tough situation where, like, if you don't produce next season, I mean, it's going to be worse next season than it will be this season.
But all they're doing is asking for an answer, and they haven't gotten one.
They won't accept the answer regardless.
Well, they got to hear it from here.
But that's what I'm saying. Like,
but you can't just show up. Like, if you have that, you're showing up to the Nets games and like all of the outfits he is, like, I don't know. It just doesn't add up. It just doesn't add up. And people making valid points on that.
People who've never lived it are making valid points we don't know what's happening behind closed doors. We have no idea.
We don't. But I'm just saying, and I feel bad because all the focus is on Ben Simmons and how KD and Kyrie didn't produce. And maybe 10% of the attention is going to how Boston played them.
Exactly. No one's talking about how positive, how great Boston was playing.
Nobody.
From top to bottom, everybody who's on the floor is producing and being productive. No one's talking about it. And if Steve Nash came out and said, you know, we really could have used Ben Simmons and threw him underneath the bus, that's your coach. He shouldn't do that, one. But two, he's there. He's behind the scenes with him. He knows more than we know. But if I say something crazy, who the fuck am I? I don't know anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But if you make a valid point, that's the gift and the curse of social media.
It's a valid point, but it's always like a not factual valid point, because we don't know. We never lived it. We don't know. So to answer your question, Chuck, is it soft? I say
yes and no.
I think
it's the same. It's just always been some guys, yeah, maybe a little soft. Some guys maybe misunderstood. You know, I don't think any generation is really that different from other generations.
Man,
it's just different outlets.
Look, the only difference now is that everyone has an opinion, but everyone has an opinion they could voice publicly to literally every soul on the planet now. All it takes is one thing. You tweet one thing, it gets retweeted 10,000 times, 20,000 times, 30, and it just keeps going. And it could be something, the most dumbest thing you've ever tweeted or something, and it now gets picked up and used in an article and this. And it's all nonsense. I don't know. I just think the society is just, we're in shambles at times. It's they pick and choose when things are okay, which...
It is. You're right.
They pick and choose when...
That's why I wish I was a celebrity, because I don't give a flying...
You say that now, and so...
I really don't. I don't. I really don't. But because I don't know. All right.
You don't know, all right, man.
Shot callers, comment on this episode with all your Dimitri hatred and see how he handles it mentally.
Yeah.
You just... But it's such
doing it multiple languages so I could translate it on Google Translate. Shout out to Google Translate that's sponsoring this episode.
It's such a small... Nobody sponsors our episodes. It's such a small amount of people, though. If you were like... I mean, now I'm thinking of like everybody that I've ever seen like go crazy, quote unquote, like Britney Spears. Like, enough is enough. Like, she probably maybe at one point didn't care either until she had no choice but to care, because it was everywhere she looked. I think we don't understand because we don't know. We know like 30 people and that's about it.
Well, I feel like, you know what, also it's crazy. In sports, you know that whole generation where everybody is a winner?
Yeah.
That messed up sports a lot too.
Like participation trophy.
Yep. Not even like everybody's a winner.
That drives me crazy.
Horrible. Horrible. Kids don't learn how to lose.
No. That's not why I hate it. Kids don't understand what the fuck a participation trophy is. It's the parents that give it to them. So all the people who complain about the participation trophy kids, who the fuck gave them the trophies to begin with? When I was 5 years old, we do it every episode. When I was 5 years old, my parents put some cleats on me, some long socks, some shin guards, and threw me on a soccer field. Didn't know what the fuck soccer was, but I did it, you know, an hour or so every Saturday for a couple weeks. And at the end of it, they gave me this little piece of plastic. I don't know what that is. I don't need this. I didn't need then. I didn't need now. Like, I never needed that. You don't need to give participation trophies. Stop doing it. The kids aren't asking for it. The kids don't even know about it. It's the parents who are doing it, and it's been parents doing it for decades.
And hold on. I have a rant, actually. And
yes, love it. The rant episode.
This week has been, like, very apparent to me that there's been a lot of umpires
That's
in the that news. Are quitting.
Yep, that's a huge shortage
because of the parents.
Yes,
and I think that's absurd. So let me get this straight: you're gonna go argue with an umpire for your 4 year old's soccer game or baseball game? Because I think it's in those two sports mainly. Oh, basketball is there too.
I think but I think umpire because of the balls and strikes. I think that's one of the biggest ones.
But I saw basketball was like a whole fight. They attacked the ref, which is disgusting. And people just need to stop and let it go on. Like, let the refs do their jobs. Let the umpires do their jobs. Like, my uncle is an umpire. Well, he is an umpire. I think he's doing Triple A right now. But he's an umpire he was an umpire, and he told me he called a game one time because a player threatened him in another language, and the player didn't know that he spoke Spanish. And he threatened him, and he goes, "If you call me out again, I'm gonna kill you," in Spanish. And my uncle speaks Spanish and was like, "Oh yeah, I'll call in the game." He called the game, and this is like a couple years ago, but that wasn't even the parent, that was a player. So it's just disgusting. Like, you're gonna take this away from the kids. Stop. Just let the games be called how they are. Let the kids win, lose, learn how to deal with it. Because apparently the parents can't. Somebody has to.
I agree. Aaron, it's your turn to rant.
I've been ranting this whole time. I have nothing else.
I know if you had something else, some other topic. Give it all out. This is our
grievances. Okay. All right. I'm ready.
Aaron of the grievances.
I got something. Why are the Mets getting hit every single game? We are leading the league with 20 hit
bats. It's 20? I thought it was 19.
I think we hit 20 yesterday, I'm pretty sure. Ooh. And I think the second highest team is 11. But we've had like three got hit in the head. What the hell is going on? I understand, you know, we look like a threat right now. I don't know why it seems like they're gunning for us. But just stop it. I mean, I don't understand. Like, we're actually taking it pretty well. I mean, Pete Alonso got hit in the head and ran to first base. Nolan Arenado almost gets hit, and then benches clear. What a bitch. Who does that? That's a bitch.
Oh, wait. Well, we don't know. It might be like, you know.
I'm just kidding. That's a bitch move. Like, at least if you're gonna get hit, get hit, then the bench is clear. You feel a certain way. He didn't even get hit. Alonso got hit in the head within like 1 week of each other.
Yo, who did he tussle with? I was trying to figure that out.
It was the coach and The pitcher, no,
Pete Alonso was on the floor rolling around.
So the pitcher pulled Alonso down, and the coach fell on him, the first base coach.
Oh, okay.
I just don't understand what's happening. And I've seen a lot of arguments about, like, pitchers don't have the grip on the ball because they don't have the stuff to grip it. And I'm like, how about you just learn how to pitch? Like, or don't pitch inside, like, up and in. Like, if you can't control it, don't do it. I understand that's part of the game and strategy, but, like, pitch in, but, like, midway. So at least if they get hit in, like, you know, the rib, the arm, it's more manageable. The head, I mean, they're gunning for the head. Lindor got hit in the head. Alonso hit in the head twice. I think McCann almost got hit in the head too. I mean, you just can't do that. And I don't. It feels like it's feeling like it's coming with the territory because I feel like they feel like we're a threat or something. But like it sometimes feels intentional. The Cardinals, they hit us like five times this series.
They did.
And the Cardinals are a really good team too. So it's a little mind boggling. But for the Cardinals to act like they weren't like expecting a receipt is a little weird. And we didn't even hit him. We just let him know, like, hey, we're here. And to their best player. And to their best player.
It wasn't even that bad. It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad. Arenado just overreacted. And for what? I mean, I'm just happy that it was for their best player too. Because I don't know. Like, we just can't. It just can't be a thing. And Buck Showalter's ready to catch hands. I can see it in his face every time. Because every time when a player gets hit, the camera zooms in on his face, and he just looks red. Like, he just looks like ready to go. And I'm sick and tired of it. Right? It's one of these times we've gotten lucky every time. We might not be lucky, and I just don't. It shouldn't happen in the sport, not just in the Mets, to anybody. Don't want you to be getting it in the head. And the fact that we've gotten so many, not even just the Mets in general, to start the season is insane.
Honestly, I think throwing at a batter is the most weakest, like, way of getting a point across. I honestly, because there's no evil, there's no even equivalent to that.
It's not. But you know what is winning? Winning, hitting, making sure your at bats count. That's the way. You know what I mean? Like, you get hit, what you got to do is the next guy has to come in and fill up the slack. Make sure the guy that's at first now, let's get him. Let's get him the second. Let's get him the third. Yeah. Let's hit him where it hurts. The scoreboard and really win. I always hated that because it doesn't solve anything. If anything, all the umpires are like, give a warning here, a warning there.
Yeah. And then the guy goes to serve, goes to first, and he's got hit. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like, all right, so if it was a pitcher, like when the pitcher gets taken to the yard and he gets a home run and the batter goes off in a celebration, the next time he's up, they hit him.
And that's
happened sometimes, yeah.
And that's such a dumbass move. Which is crazy. Because it's like, all right, if you want to get even with him, strike his ass out and then celebrate. Yeah. Don't hit him. Like, why the hell are you hitting him?
It's one of those old school baseball rules. I'm saying it's vicious tendencies.
You mad because he took you yard and he might take you yard again and you're scared, so you hit him to prove a point that he can't celebrate. There's no other equal. Like, if a pitcher strikes a batter out and he celebrates, the only way to get back at the pitcher is to take him, hit a home run off him. There's no, like, you can't throw the bat at him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's one you of could those.
If you're, what's his name?
Mike Piazza.
Oh, no, that was the other way around. Never mind. He got the bat thrown at him.
It's one of those unwritten rules that go on forever. It's like in basketball when you're down 30-something points and, like, the time is running out, you shouldn't go for the last shot. Who fucking cares? You still lost by 30 points. It doesn't matter. Right. But
in don't baseball, lose by 30 points.
In baseball, you have like a 10-run lead. It's the ninth inning. You have a guy on first base. They steal, but they drop down a bunt. It's an unwritten rule that goes on and on. And that getting hit one, for some reason, has continued on through
that needs to go.
The annals of time. And it doesn't make sense because, yeah, people settled things differently back in 1909 when they started doing this, I'm sure. You know what I mean? Like,
they wanted to get home because they weren't getting paid as much. And they had a family to go take care of. And they were like,
we're alcohol.
I don't know.
So that's my rant.
I hate that shit.
I find it just, it can't be coincidental. It almost feels intentional at times.
I don't know. I think it's a little coincidental at this time.
The first 2 weeks of the season, I thought so. The last 2 weeks of the season, I have not thought it's been.
Maybe you guys got Steve Cohen. The plate.
You guys got Steve Cohen now. They're jealous.
Last year, we were number one in hits, too, and getting hit, I'm pretty sure. I think Jeff McNeil got hit like 30 times last year or some crazy number like that. He's not moving. I mean, whose side are you on, Chuck?
Just kidding. I'm always on the Braves side.
The Braves.
Shout out to the Braves. Ronald Acuna came back today. Big move.
Man, all right. Crazy. What else is going on in sports, guys? We have a big boxing match actually this weekend. I know we usually don't speak boxing. First time ever on What's the Call podcast, I am going to bring up women's boxing. It is being hailed as the biggest fight in women's boxing history. Katie Taylor against Amanda Serrada, Madison Square Garden. Their headline, it's going to be all the belts are on the line. All the boxing women's belts on the line here.
Amanda Serrano.
Yeah, that was close. I knew Katie Taylor. She's Irish. Saturday night is going to be their match. It's being hyped like crazy. But once again, it's on pay-per-view for like $100-something, so I will not be watching.
Yo, Serrano is nice. I have seen a couple of her fights. Some of the undercards. She's 42-1 with 30 knockouts. She's the real deal. Looks like Taylor's undefeated, but I don't know, I definitely have seen fight, and she rocks. I mean, she rocks for sure.
Oh, that's why this is being hyped. They are two of the best right now, and they're mainlining, main carding, I should say. Big purse for them. All the titles on the line. It's at the door.
Yeah, that's fire.
I would go to that if I was going away.
I'll be at the FDNY NYPD hockey game.
A good show.
At UBS, it's
that's pretty cool.
I had no desire, but you know the family's going, so.
No, I hear. Who
are you going for?
Oh, definitely FDNY all day.
Yeah, I just hope both teams have fun. That's all I'm about.
I just hope there's a fight.
In the stands and in the game.
I'm also excited to see the UBS arena. I haven't been in there yet, so I'm excited to see if it's hyped up.
We need to get the update on that.
Yep, for sure. What else is going on? We were saying baseball. First month is done. 2 months ago we said this wasn't going to happen. We just finished the first month of the season. It's crazy how time just moves. Some surprise teams. The Mariners are looking really nice.
They've been doing well. Angels doing very well. Yankees doing extremely well.
Yankees and Blue Jays are looking like it's going to be a battle throughout the whole season, man. Blue Jays looking good. Yankees, Anthony Rizzo, I don't know what happened to him. People slept on my man. But
is it a contract?
No, he's just signed.
He just signed.
So normally that's not – normally it's the other way around. Mm-hmm. You just sign next – oh, my leg broke. I mean, but, yeah, and then, I mean, the Mets are – it's
first
not –
place.
They haven't lost a series yet, right?
No, we have not lost a series yet. No. But I also can't say a surprise because I just feel like –
It's April Mets.
But this is probably mm-hmm. This is the best April we've had. I mean, I think they said since 73. So
yeah, no.
How that year ends?
Wait, time out. I've heard a stat that no other team has won this many series ever in the first whatever series.
Like the first six series.
Yeah, or seven. Yeah. I think the first six series is no, there's been not one MLB team that's won every series.
Yeah. I mean, and our schedule is looking like it's going to start picking up a little bit, playing the Phillies and Braves the next three series. I think it's like Phillies, Braves, and Phillies again. As long as we could just maintain for when DeGrom comes back, then I'll really feel like I'll actually feel a little bit more comfortable. I mean, for one, I don't know about you, Chuck. I've pretty much not have missed any games. I think I missed like three games. And the offense just seems different than it was last year. Like, we're getting runs on two outs. Like, last year, we wouldn't do that. Runs and scoring position were just awful last year. And this year, it's been a lot different. And our pitching's been solid, so I'm excited.
So the Mets have the second most runs in the entire MLB. They are behind by one to the Angels, and they have the third best run differential behind Dodgers and the Giants. Mm.
But this is April Mets, though. April Mets always do this.
Yes, but you know what the April Cincinnati Reds do? They go 3-16 to start the season. Joey Votto is not happy.
I mean, he's also not playing well.
He's still playing?
The entire franchise is not playing
He's batting like 170 right now.
No, you gave him too much credit. He's currently batting 133.
Oh. That means he must
have had eight hits on 60 at bats.
Yeah. We knew that was going to happen. They traded away all their guys. Castellanos, Winker. Can't forget.
They had Brandon Drury.
Sonny Gray. I mean, they're definitely going to be a down year. So baseball is underway. We're in the midst of basketball playoffs, about to finish the first round. Like we said before about Ben Simmons, the Celtics were the only team to get a sweep. In the first round, they swept the Nets, which is still a little bit surprising that they didn't pull out at least a game. Miami Heat, 4-1 against the Hawks. Warriors, 4-1 against the Nuggets. And
The Bucks,
4-1 against the Bulls. So really, we're just waiting on Dallas and Utah. Phoenix. And Phoenix just passed through their 4-2 against the Pelicans. And the only reason why they lost two of those games, Devin Booker was out, so I truly believe that. But he played today, so that's a problem for anyone they go up against. I believe they would go up against the Dallas Mavericks or the Utah Jazz. So far, that game is, I think it's about to be, it's like 4-point game going into the fourth, or five into the fourth quarter. So we'll see what happens. Mavericks have the lead right now.
We saw Memphis, Minnesota going to game six tomorrow.
And that series has been
crazy.
Bananas.
Crazy.
I mean, John Moran.
I've been enjoying that series.
Well, we said it on the last episode, Aaron, when we had Dan, that this was going to be the best series. And it's proven it so far.
I mean, it's just been so exciting. I mean, they were down by 25 points with like 10 minutes left to go in the fourth. And then they came back to win that game six or game five. I mean, John Moran is just a different – I mean, and he had the game winner on a layup. Like, the amount of confidence he plays with, you could just tell. Like, the Grizzlies were good a couple years ago when they had Conley and Gasol, but this team, this is like a vicious Grizzlies team, like, for real. Like, Bane's a sniper. Jaren Jackson's playing well. Kyle, like, they have a squad, like a full-on squad. And them against the Warriors will be quite interesting because their defense is really good. But the Warriors offense is just as good. So yeah, we'll really see.
We'll see.
I truly believe they're going to beat the Timberwolves, though. I just cannot see. I cannot see them coming back to win two straight games against Memphis, and one of those games are going to be at home. There's just for Memphis, there's just no way. I just can't see it.
Yeah, I don't. I honestly, I find it funny because those are the two teams I mix up all the time.
Yeah,
it's the Grizzlies.
Yep,
and the Timberwolves.
Same colorway.
They got the same colors, and I'm just like, I don't know who's on who. I'm like, John Morant's on what? Which one? But I think it's been. I actually am very intrigued on the father's trash talk between John Morant's father and Karl Anthony Towns' father, and it's been hilarious because it's just they just talking shit, and it's like good for media. They should start a podcast.
But I have so much respect for each other, man. It's just part of the game. It's all part of the game.
It's all good, man. It's all good. But yeah, it's been exciting. It's been going down the wire. But Kat needs to step it up.
Yeah, I mean, we could see him and Edwards could be a crazy duo if they really. I mean, Edwards is just too nice, and Anthony Towns is, he's good. He's really good, but he definitely could do more. I think they're just making it difficult on him. They keep switching Clark on him and Jackson on him, and they're making it very difficult for him to get comfortable in the paint to do anything, which the Grizzlies are a disrupting team. They're just disruptive. Mm-hmm. Like, they messed up the schemes. That's just how they manage and win. They almost won. I think they almost won 60 games this season, or they did. That's how you do it. You have to be just disruptive. So, I'm excited. I think the teams that we still picked to still be in the championship round are still in. Oh, and we have Sixers and Raptors. I believe that series isn't over yet, too, but the Sixers only have one more game, and then they can make it through. But we know how that goes. Doc Rivers, 3-1 team, and blows it. He's blown it several times, so I would not be surprised if they blow it.
No, wait, the Sixers won already, didn't they?
Did they? I thought they still had one.
Yeah,
more
they
game.
Won earlier tonight. They crushed it. Nah.
All right, cool.
132-97 earlier tonight.
Just one.
I think he's overrated as a coach. I'm just saying.
I mean, the one championship that he had was the Celtics Big 3.
With Rondo emerging.
Rondo, and they had James Posey and Big Baby Glenn Davis. Like, they had a random ragtag group, and then they had the Big 3 in Rondo. Mm-hmm. So
I think he's overrated as a coach.
I knew he was overrated when he didn't do anything with the Clippers, and they had Lob City, and they traded for Doc Rivers, which is, I mean,
doesn't happen often.
Hey, I mean,
it's not a good thing.
It's not a good thing. I mean, they traded him
Lob City, and they lost with
Chris Paul, JJ Redick still in his prime shooting. They had Jamal Crawford there. They had a squad.
And Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan.
Yep.
Blake Griffin was on a different level too.
He was on his
Sean Kemp shit for
way better than Sean Kemp. Way better.
But I'm just the explosive, the dunks, probably not since then. Like in-game dunks. If Booker could stay healthy, I'm still picking the Suns to go to the finals.
Over the Warriors? Jordan
Poole's great, but I don't know if I can't give it to him. I'm rooting for them if they make it there, though. I think. I mean, I'm not the biggest Steph guy, but they're doing it the right way, so I can never fault the team.
Kyrie guy. Yeah. Okay.
I'm a Kyrie guy. That's what you said. I'd rather die.
He's more of an Oliver Perez guy.
Yeah, definitely a big Oliver Perez guy. I'm actually pulling for the Sixers in the East.
Really?
I said the Bucks, but I am deep down pulling for the Sixers. I want to see Joel Embiid. I want to see like the process fully come to fruition. And I think it'd be cool to see. I mean, Joel Embiid is such a good player.
I think the Bucks are out because Middleton is done.
But man, the Celtics, I don't know. The Celtics are playing that series. I don't know. Jason Tatum's on a different level. So I don't know. The East is up for grabs. It could be the Heat. It could be anybody. It could be anybody.
It won't be the Heat.
It could be. Their team is deep too. It could be so many people. I think the West, it's pretty much a two-team lock. It's either the Suns or the Warriors. But for the East, I think all the teams that are remaining, it could be any of those teams. Like I truly believe that. Because the Bucks is still beat. Because the Bucks have still beat the Celtics without Middleton, I think.
I don't think so.
I don't know. They got the Grayson Allen.
They locked up KD.
They got the Grayson Allen. They're not locking up Giannis. I'll tell you that right now.
Why not?
Because Giannis plays a different game. KD dribbles too much. Giannis takes four dribbles and gets to the basket. How are they going to stop that without fouling him?
Al Horford.
All right, Chuck, you want to move on to anything else, or
you guys hockey? Hockey, time for hockey. Yay, hockey!
Let's do it.
So tomorrow is the last game of the regular season for the NHL. Technically Sunday, but the Sunday game doesn't count. That's just like a makeup game between two non-playoff teams.
And they're late.
For everybody else, tomorrow's last day. Playoffs are basically set up. I was trying to look up, see if there's any. You're maneuvering left. I don't believe so. Everyone's already clinched a spot. Who's going to make it? RIP to the Vegas Golden Knights. First time in franchise history, they will not make the playoffs.
In franchise history of like 5 years.
4 years. 18, they made it. 19, 20, 21, and now 22, they won't. So yeah, you're right, 5 years. You're right. You got me on that one.
Who when you're done, who is the best team and the worst team in the league this year?
I was about to say. So just earlier tonight, Florida Panthers clinched the best record in the league. They were 58, 17, and 6.
And they lost their coach, right? Like early in the season.
Early in the season. Mm-hmm. They had an interim who just ran with it. So the playoff teams, I go to the playoff matchups real quick. We'll have the number one Florida Panthers go against the wild card Washington Capitals. Hockey playoffs get a little crazy. We can do a little bit more next episode when we know.
I'm ready. Next week, I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to be prepared with my facts. Like I always am for hockey playoffs. I'll be ready with all my notes and everything. I got you.
All right. Then we got Toronto and Tampa. That's going to be a fun match. We have Carolina, Boston, New York, Rangers, Pittsburgh Penguins. That should be a nice match. Mm. We have Colorado, Nashville, Minnesota, St. Louis. That should be a pretty surprising match. Those are very close, exciting teams. That'd be a good one. And we have Calgary and the Dallas Stars, and then Edmonton and the LA Kings. I think it starts. Is it Monday? Is the first round? I want to say it's Monday. Starts the playoffs.
Man, I'm gonna do some real research to figure out who I'm gonna pick to win. I'm gonna do some. Because I'm not gonna go with the favorite. That's just too obvious. The favorite never wins. It's very rare.
You never go with the favorite.
It's very rare that the favorite wins. The one who has Well, in most, they have the best record.
Last year, the favorite one, not the one. No,
but just because you have like the best record or whatever doesn't mean you're going to like win. That's what I mean. Not favorite, not like Vegas favorite. It's about like if you have the best record. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. So I would never pick the
Panthers. That's mostly an Emmy sport, though.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think the Panthers have ever won the cup. So,
ooh, I might be back on.
I know. In soccer news, we're getting close to the end for a lot of the big leagues.
I believe
Real Madrid has won La Liga. the Italian league. So kind of a toss up between AC Milan and Inter Milan. So that's entertaining. The German league, I believe Aaron's team is not the winner. Bayern Munich has clinched already for like the 10th time in a row. Borussia Dortmund ended up in second for like the 10th season in a row. And France, Paris Saint-Germain clinched the league there. And England, it's still a tight matchup between Manchester City and Liverpool. There's a 1-point difference at the top. Man City has the advantage. There's still 5 games left for the English league. And then Champions League, we just had the first round of the semifinals. High-scoring match between Man City over Real Madrid. Man City won 4-3 in the first match of the semifinals. Liverpool beat Villarreal 2-0 in that semifinal. And the second round of the semifinals will be next week, with the finals at the end of May. And that's my hockey and soccer report.
Soccer report is brought to you by Red Bull.
The New York Red Bulls?
They give you wings. I think that's it. Anything else we got to talk about? I mean, we went in. We definitely made up for not being here last week. I'll tell you that right now. We gave you a hell of an episode.
Yo, shout out to my digest. Dude, Aaron, for his birthday last week.
Hey. Shout out to the young goat. Hey.
Yeah, shout out yourself.
I mean, it was that fun. I would say I'd shout out myself. Chuck missed it because he doesn't love me and we're not really friends.
100%.
Yeah.
All true.
He definitely,
he definitely cried in the bathroom about it. I held his hair back while he cried in the toilet.
He held my hat back while I was crying. Yeah, you know, good I understand.
Times, though. Good times. DJ was on point,
which I knew. I picked the right person.
It was a lot of pressure.
It was no pressure. I knew who it was. I mean, anyone else I wouldn't have trusted. I knew you were the right guy for the job. So
Oh yeah.
But if Chuck was there, he might have been the right guy for the job, because he also has great taste in music.
A lot of Billy Joel.
Nicole would have enjoyed that. Some Billy Joel. But yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Boom. All right, guys. Thank you for listening. Appreciate your feedback on social media. you heard our call. What's yours?